unmute. So I understand that Lath is using the Touchstones worship resources, and that this month you have been exploring God and the divine. So I didn't just pick the title for this service to see if I could push any buttons, although it may have, and that's okay, because we are the button-pushing people, as you use. I have broken up today's service into two different reflections, because for me, the divine is surfacing in many ways. The first one I'd like to talk to you about, I've called God in the Greening. Because as you may have noticed, this past week on April 22nd, we celebrated the 50th Earth Day. Not only giving thanks for the beauty of the earth, but also reminding us of the work we still have as caretakers of our planet, to reaffirm our commitment to our seventh UU principle, to affirm and promote respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Now, I've heard people say that maybe this shutdown caused by the pandemic is a fortunate thing for the environment, a tragedy for people, and maybe a good thing for Mother Earth. That's a tough one to hold. It has indeed had some immediate impact and even positive impact. You can see from outer space, apparently, the changes. Coronavirus lockdowns have sent pollution plummeting, and nature is regaining lost territory. And like all things that have come so suddenly with this new reality, we know too little to draw conclusions or make assumptions about what the future will hold. So much is changing. In Winnipeg, I'm seeing curious animals boldly wandering the streets these days who've previously been kept at bay by traffic and human presence. There's one I've yet to identify, some squashed marmot-looking creature. Apparently the largest hole in our ozone layer over the Arctic has closed. There are reports of blue skies over Delhi, where people haven't seen through the smog that they've been breathing for years. Yet they still must wear face masks to prevent and protect against the virus. Food is being dumped by the tons or left rotting, unharvested in fields, while more and more people face starvation around the globe and also here at home, as production grinds to a halt. Oil prices are at record low because the demand has fallen sharply, so suddenly that oil wells in Alberta have been abandoned by broke companies, and their oil spills freely into open waterways and agricultural fields. Yet, petroleum is needed to manufacture protective equipment for medical workers. We are living in a time of paradox, witness to both the resiliency and the fragility of life. For those, many of us, who find nature to be a nourishing source of spiritual connection and personal strength and healing, it is good news that this year there will be more fresh air, more flowers and bees, more birds, more blue sky, fewer animals killed by passing cars, and more time to go out and enjoy being in nature, being one with nature, finding God in the fresh, greening hope of spring. And Earth Day, this 50th anniversary of a call to action to spare our planet, we are given a glimpse of how it might be and also what it might cost us. And we must decide how we will continue once the pandemic has passed and we find our new normal. God is in the little things that call us to be the best we can, the most loving, compassionate, generous, and creative people we can be. We have an opportunity for reflection on how our ways of life might stay changed or continue to evolve healthily post-pandemic. We have an opportunity to choose to live more fully into our values, to continue working from home instead of driving every day, to buy local produce, to not just jump on a plane so easily, to buy less stuff, to walk more. It is a gift to be awoken to new appreciation for life, for our connections to people we love, for realization of how connected we truly are to all that lives. In the immortal words of E.E. Cummings, I thank you, God, for this most amazing day, for the leaping greenly spirits of trees and a blue, true dream of sky, and for everything which is natural, which is infinite, which is yes. Now the ears of my ears awake. Now the eyes of my eyes are opened. Yes, let us give thanks. Let us show our gratitude by acting to keep the skies blue and the birds singing. Amen. Our second reflection today is called God in the Spaces Between. I'm working as a chaplain at St. Boniface Hospital in Winnipeg. It's one of the few trauma centers in central Canada. We're seeing a lot. Manitoba hasn't yet been hit with the same numbers of coronavirus patients or tragedies that we hear of daily in the news out of Quebec and Ontario. Not yet. But there are very real and very painful losses, magnified in a hospital setting. Patients separated from their families in times of great need. People unable to visit dying loved ones. Healthcare workers showing up again and again in increasingly stressful and even dangerous situations, knowing that whatever they do, it won't be quite enough. Chaplains are called to be the liaisons, the visitors, the calming presence, the spiritual guides, the confessors. The receptacles of grief and fear and even anger, to hold it all and find a way through, back to hope, back to meaning, back to life. A question we are often asked is, where is God in this suffering? Where is God in this pandemic? And then we look for her. We reach for her. I'm the only non-Christian in my spiritual care team and occasionally find myself explaining Unitarian Universalism to skeptical people who think that since our tradition and theology aren't centered around the belief of the life, death, resurrection, and divinity of Jesus Christ, that ours is not a religion. And yet our congregations are largely filled with people who identify as religious humanists. And according to the Pew surveys, belief in God is still significant. We just have many, many different names and definitions for what or who God, with a large G or a little g or by many other names, is. And I trust you, all of you, to do your own translating of words as you always do, as we do in our hymn singing. These times of great challenge, grief, fear, and loss are bringing people to reflect more deeply on matters of spirit, of meaning of life and connection to what is greater, greater than our individual selves. To me, embracing the divine doesn't mean needing to decide on the existence or not of a God of many names. It means living more fully into the lives we have and all the gifts that we bring to it. The spirit is in the spaces between people, weaving threads that keep us from being alone, even in our isolation. It is in the thoughtful messages sent and received, in the laughter over a FaceTime call, in the silences of shared grief. Love is showing up to work, to deliver food, to clean, to plant, to repair broken things. Love is offering to help, sharing with those in need. Love is washing our hands and staying home. Creation is finding new ways of teaching, of staving off boredom or arguments, in developing new treatments and trying over and over again to save another life despite another loss. The divine is in our technology, in our Zoom meeting rooms, bringing us together in worship, letting us connect to loved ones at a great distance, to see the faces of grandchildren, to comfort one another through tears and across time zones. Where is God these days? In every little reminder, sign, or miracle that lets us know we are not alone, that we are welcome, that we are valuable, and that whoever we are, wherever we are enough, moving forward together, 6 feet apart, on a path of hope and compassion and generosity. That's where God is. May it be so.